This is the next part then of the apologies.
Councillor Byrne and Councillor Curran. Councillor Curran.
Do you want our apologies? Okay. Any declarations of interest? Okay. Any declarations of interest? No, we'll have a look and move on. And the ERT action sheet from the 10th of December. Anybody else who would like to raise on it? Yeah, so we have a proposal and a second for the action sheet. Robert and Jim, thank you. Okay, then we move on to item number four, and that's a presentation from Owen McGinnis from Ulster University. So I'm going to take about 10 minutes to go through this, and then we'll open it up for about 10 minutes for questions and afterwards. Okay?
Thanks very much. So I'm just going to take you through where it's been a year, or it's around about a year since I presented to you before, and I think it's been a fair change even in the last couple of months. So I just want to sort of take you through what 2019 might hold more generally in the Northern Ireland economy, and then also quite locally here within Erie, Mourne and Derry. I think when we issued this outlook back in November time, and you'll see from it, it's quite positive in general, but I think even at that stage we were talking about maybe some risks on the downside. I think even since November there's probably more talk in the last couple of months than maybe in the previous year about possibility of recession or downturn or the end of the current business cycle, the current recovery. So we'll just take you through a few of the slides then. So I mean the background is positive. You can see from the slide there, the economic output within the North is at a record high. It's recovered well from the fall after 2007-08. It's kind of past its previous peak, and there's an expectation that that'll continue within the North, even under all three scenarios. Output will continue to grow over the next decade or so. Now, one thing you'll see, and you'll see this in all the charts as we go through, is that in some of that there's expected to be a sort of a downward pressure for the first couple of years in that decade. 2019, 2020, 2021 could be more difficult than the rest of it. And you'll see the same with employment. Employment numbers are at a record high, over 870,000 people now employed in the North. That's past the previous peak that was there in 2007. But again, there are kind of a, you know, growth expected to continue, except under the lower scenario. I can come back to you that. But in any case, a sort of a lower, more modest growth than certainly over the last couple of years, where employment is growing quite fast, both of the Northern Ireland wide and also in Erie and Mourne as we come to. The next one then, Erie and Mourne, in terms of output here, it's grown quite slowly since the recession, more slowly than maybe in the North more generally, but even with that, we're expected this year or 2018 year just passed to pass the previous peak of 2006. So again, the recovery's been modest, but there are thereabouts. And in part, some of the reason for that is good growth of local companies here, First Derivatives, Sports Staff, and others that have been adding on jobs, but adding on high value as well. Walter Watson, I suppose, as well, would be another good example of that, Castlewell. Current employment peaks are well past peak employment too. So nearly more than adding on quite a lot of jobs. And a one figure to add or to note there, since 2012, around about 8,000 new jobs added, about 3,000 more than were lost during the recession. And just keep that figure in your head there, that around about 8,000 when you see the forecast for the next couple of years. So, and I suppose one of the things that's now been added to what economists are looking at is what beyond the kind of economic indicators, what other things can we find to say about quality of life and well-being. And you're able to score well on these, it's possibly hard to see on the screen there, but you're looking at things that are like people's expectation of life satisfaction, the worthwhileness, their anxiety levels and so on. Now, Erie Mourne does score well across all of those, with perhaps a little bit less on the, or a little bit less of a good score on the anxiety point. So maybe a reflection of the lifestyle here, or a sense of well-being among the population generally. Outlooks then, these are for an area born again for the local output or outlook. Output expected to increase at a steady rate over the next decade. Good growth continuing on. Modest growth though in 2020-21, and we can come back to maybe the reasons for that. Employment also expected to kind of tick upwards over the decade. But if you note there, I sort of said there was around 8,000 jobs added since 2012 in the recovery on the kind of central forecast, which is the most likely one, we're expecting around about 1,800, 1,900 jobs to be added over the next 10 years. So it's quite a kind of reduction in growth. You'll also note that kind of shape of the graph as well, where there's a downward pressure, as I say, in 2020-2021. So an increase over the decade, but a couple of difficult years perhaps ahead. One thing maybe to note there as well is that many of the jobs are coming in two sectors, in particular accommodation or tourism and professional services. So those are expected to add a lot of the new jobs there in 2027. Forecast only then, positive story in general, but growth is slowing quite significantly. And I suppose one of the things when you look at these things are, is it just a factor of the business cycle or the things that can be done either by the council or by the council lobby and others to increase the level of growth? Most of this is there, the direction of change for most of these are positive, with one note there, resident unemployment is expected to be slightly higher by the end of the decade, 0.1% than it is currently. So there's a direction of change there is less positive than the others. So considerations then, I would say on this, if you want to sort of think of what the strengths are locally, currently and expected to be into the period ahead, wellbeing is one. A good kind of sense there, a good sense around community spirit and some of the other indicators there. Wages are beginning to tick up, which is a good sign as well locally. That's one thing that certainly the recovery didn't see. We saw good employment growth, but a lot of part-time jobs, a lot of kind of lower wage jobs. So those wages are starting to tick up, probably because the labour market's quite tight, so employers are having to pay that bit more. You see that in sectors such as construction in particular. The challenges then, if you're looking at city deals, I put city deals up there, in a sense it's an opportunity, but it's also going to be a challenge, I think, locally really in terms of the delivery of that. Some of the negotiations still have to go on that one. Challenges around skills, the skills forum has been set up and is doing work already in the council area. That's going to continue to pose quite a challenge here locally. With the tightness in the labour market, sectors such as, again, construction being one that stands out here, there are a lot of kind of skills challenges there in the construction sector in terms of construction employees who end up who've gone elsewhere, a gap certainly for 2 or 3 years in terms of turning out new employees for that sector. So that's there's a gap there to be made up. Brexit obviously is an unknown challenge about how that may end up, but that's going to continue for the next few years to be a challenge. Even if we get the withdrawal by the end of March, then we're going to have 2 years of working out what the future relationship between the UK and the EU will be. So that'll continue to be a challenge for businesses and for councils and others trying to plan what the way ahead is. I put up sort of rates, domestic rates and non-domestic rates, because one of the things that I think maybe to note is the next couple of years is going to be a difficult few years, I think, in terms of the business cycle. So there may be issues there to be thought of that at the moment probably aren't as pressing, but could be in a year or two's time as to where the pressure in terms of, are there going to be closures, will there be some redundancies there, will there be pressures on businesses in terms of the rates bill and so on and so forth, and what knock-on effect that might have at the council level. That's not an issue that's been there for a few years really since the recession hit first, but I suspect maybe in the next year or two there may be a bit more pressure on that in terms of the rate space. So I put that up there as a potential challenge here for the council. I'll leave it maybe with that kind of graphic on screen anyway in terms of kind of considerations that might be there. And I'll leave it at that point.
Okay. Thank you, Owen. Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just happened to be in Dublin there on Saturday, and it's very encouraging to see what's happening in Dublin. The amount of cranes understanding this is a sure sign that the economy's on a bit of a bounce. But I don't see the same here, maybe part of Belfast yet. But I know we have a couple of projects in the pipeline in our council, you know, our new civic centre and a new conference centre and all that. So that will give a bit of a bounce in that particular sector. But I noticed that on one of your sides there, the two areas where that are going to suffer, and maybe some more as a result of poor Brexit, is agriculture and retail. Now retail is because of people's changes in how they shop. A lot of shopping is done online, and you can see that's causing a damn destruction in some of the shopping centres. But agriculture, you know, I'm not a farmer, all I have is a window box at home. But having said that, the farmer is surviving now because of the European Union. Now, that's supposed to stop in 2020. If there is a hard Brexit, I can't see the Central Treasury about stopping up the market and subsidising the farmers in the north here. So I can see agriculture maybe collapsing completely. And it was a time when agriculture in the north was the main stable industry, creating employment and generating income. So those are the two, agriculture and retail, which I have a serious concern for. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, I'll come back on that. I mean, I think the boom that is certainly there in Dublin and even in the greater Dublin area, the knock-on effect for the likes of ourselves in this council area is probably the other side of that boom is the number of white vans going up and down the road now has certainly increased in terms of the construction centre. So there's a pull there, which is probably a help. Well, unless you don't want to get some work done locally, then it becomes more of a kind of a challenge for you. In terms of the agriculture point, one of the things I want to add is that I just put that up on this slide as just a reminder of how important, because Casey, you mentioned that agriculture had been a mainstay of the Northern Ireland and the South's economy as well for a long time. This is very important here locally, about, you know, one in six employees in one in six of the North's agricultural employees work in this council area, so it's got a very important sector here locally. And I'd say, you know, there's probably concerns there, you know, not only at the production end but at the process end as to what the deal, the future relationship will be, as I say, on Brexit, never mind the cap and what a local agricultural policy will be. So it's a certain sector that's facing uncertainty out to 2020 and maybe beyond that.
Thanks, Guy.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to concur, first of all, with the two points that Councillor Kidd did straight away. First of all, in terms of Dublin, certainly, I don't know why Dublin started to see the thing maybe 10 years ago all over again. Bed and breakfast with a hotel to come, quoting €250 per night, or as they're booked out. Certainly, with Dublin, the feet going, and then keeps up. And in terms of agriculture as well, certainly, I mean, almost all the North milk is processed is the dairies in County Monaghan. So, should we crash out in March, without a deal, we'll revert to WTO tariff and substitute. The dairy tariffs are quite high, which tends to wreck the dairy industry in this part of the world. But the other thing, which just to turn the question, you mentioned about wage increases and the labour supply. I mean, with obviously, if we leave the European Union in March, with or without a deal, the European Union citizens are no longer, there's no longer freedom of movement. So that's going to create a problem in terms of labour supply. If that's already the case already, it's only going to get worse. The second question, I'll share. Are you aware of any, that certainly I think I'm aware of it, that investment decisions of companies and businesses, whether it be sole traders or bigger companies, are delaying investment decisions at the moment, waiting to see the outcome of Brexit and obviously the negative impact that's going on our economy, waiting to see what's going on in the future.
I mean, all the figures of the survey figures, but also maybe probably more importantly, the statistics generally are shown on the business investment that's flat at the moment. And that'll be sort of UK-wide and in the parts of the UK, including here, the business investment, their numbers are quite flat and have been for a couple of years. Now, your question in terms of how much that's Brexit and how much that's the stage we're at the business cycle, I suppose, is another thing, but there does seem to be the evidence is certainly there that businesses are not are holding off on investment decisions, or at least aren't investing at the moment. Some of that, I think, is in and around the question of when you talk to businesses, is in and around that challenge of going back to in terms of skills and availability of labour. If you take the North generally, about 10% now of the labour force is what you would call kind of people who are born outside the North. Now that can be people born in the South, people born in GB, or people born in the European Union and further afield. The concerns I think about that in the, you know, over the next couple of years as to where that might land in terms of whether it be some sort of regional migration policy that's being talked about that businesses didn't need, means that again I think there's a downward pressure on whether you would make an investment decision or not in terms of if you're going to put together a decision to put in plant and so on. Would you do that if you're not going to be able to recruit the neighbours you need to actually work and operate that machinery or expand office space and not be able to get the kind of the staff that you want there too? The wages one is kind of tied to that. I think that's an upward pressure. Now, I actually see that as a positive thing actually at the moment, because we've had very, very flat wage pressure over the last couple of years. And I think that's probably no harm in terms of the economy more generally, in terms of kind of domestic demand. Because we've been very reliant, I think, over the last, in recovery, on external demand. So we've seen in a bit of domestic demand, no harm. Higher wages are the best thing, I think, from that point of view.
Thanks a lot, Gavin.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Thanks a lot. I was just running back through my notes. I think it was the 14th of May you were here last year, and you did allude to the agricultural sector problems, as Charlie had talked about. But I was just wondering really what what was done, on the figures in terms of our exports. Or produce, the property is about 60% going to GB, but you can't run an industry on 60% and you've got 100%. So it's the 40% really is that everybody should have learned with some of the work come around that. And it is in terms of the Brexit thing as well, But so that was just one question going back. The other thing really was, I was just wondering about, you were talking about growth there in the accommodation and tourism sector, but is that not traditionally, lower wage schemes, so I was wondering how really that would impact on wage increases, that's a big sector we're trying to promote this council, but really does it, I know it's sustainable jobs, I suppose, in this vote, that are maintained at a base level, which encourages, but there's probably no big growth in that, in terms of wages. The other bit was how badly is the public sector works currently suffering due to no executive. Do you have any figures on that? And I know I've anecdotal evidence that because there has been a lack of public sector work coming online, that a lot of the skills poor has now moved south to their bigger wages, and people in the building business are telling me that it's going to be very hard to get those back again, even should the executive go back and start creating public works. Because the wage differential has become quite a differential, remarkable, and that's right in the whole border region, really. So just those few comments, really. Our comments on those comments, please.
Yeah, and I'd do the last one first. Most of the evidence around public sector can hold up in investment is anecdotal at the moment. There doesn't seem to be. It's hard to get much in the way of. Figures. One thing I looked at recently was just to see the kind of what way tenders were going out of CPD and others. There, and those have slowed down quite dramatically in the last 18 months. So now whether again that's a cyclical thing, or whether that's due to the fact that there hasn't been ministerial clearance for some of those jobs, time will tell if that continues. The one point that was made in terms of about the procurement of public works. Again, when I spoke to people in CPD and other procurement agencies, the numbers of northern companies going in for those jobs is less because of the trend work elsewhere, and that may have some of the investment decisions as to holding off on procurement competitions for one of actually getting a bigger feed in there. So there's a difficulty there, I think, and that's going to be particularly the case as the group kind of continues in around Dublin and it's begun to sort of spread in other parts of the south. So maybe that answers that part of the question. In terms of the exports, we did maybe look at a bit at this point, both to sort of see what local council areas were doing in terms of their exports and where those exports are going from. And the 60-40 rule holds for most council areas, bar ourselves here from Oma. And Derry City and Strabane, some of the border ones, and your numbers then change quite significantly there in the Republic of Ireland export market. I feel that the Republic of Ireland become much more important in those council areas. So that kind of 60-40 rule actually head somewhere in the other direction. The GB market becomes less important in those council areas. So that's a sign, I suppose, of proximity and the importance of those markets. It's particularly important in some of the agri-food food processing as well. Again, the kind of concentration of that in around some of the border areas means that there's a bigger exposure there to risk. The last point the other point you made there is an interesting one in around on tourism and thing. Sometimes we worry on duty about, you know, are we creating jobs in a high skill or a low skill or a high wage or a low wage level. You want to, In a sense, if you want to see growth locally or regionally, you want to see jobs created at all kinds of levels there, I think, because there, you know, we've got skill and qualifications levels at all levels too. So you go and have a situation. Some parts of the north, there are not enough jobs being created across the board there, and the result of that tends to be higher levels of youth unemployment and inactivity. We do want to create some of those jobs, but I think you also want to sort of see jobs that you're beginning to see in kind of professional services and so on, which would be a higher range ones. But it's interesting though, and this may be something to do with kind of the availability of labour, it's at those lower wage ends that most upward pressure is coming now on for wage increases, which is an interesting one. Those have become quite tight for recruitment. So I mean, I suppose you're a local hotel here, you're finding it equally difficult to recruit staff as maybe if you're a first year. Your difficulty is a very different type of difficulty, but it's there nonetheless.
Thank you. Okay, well, we have Willie and others, and then we'll have a wrap up, folks.
Just a point that Charlie touched on.
Just the point Charlie touched on in regards to online shopping and how High Street competes with that. Has there been any initiatives in any region in regards to maybe trying to combat that? Almost like retailers coming together in the town, for example, and looking at their online presentation, you know, like a click and collect type initiative where you can browse the entire high street, you know, and then make your purchase locally and then collect your purchase. I know we do have to adapt online stuff all the way, so I suppose we have to know what opportunities we have in regards to that. I suppose that we need a public carry out a health check on our high streets on a regular basis, on the audit of our high streets, and look at the changes in businesses. We all know the changes, you know, banks are disappearing from the high streets, the post office, even fashion stores, you know, are disappearing because of the online pressures. Travel agencies, you know, there is a change in regards to our high street. And there are been replacement coffee shops, estate agents, you know, beauty salons, convenience shops, you know, you can see that shift in change. Just your thoughts in regards to that, as a council, what we should be actually doing in regards to that.
Again, is there any initiatives in regards to, or is there any regions carrying out rates relief for startups, you know, business startups, trying to encourage people to maybe put their home on in the high street, you know, and giving them a bit of a comfort or a security for people to take that step, some sort of rates relief. I'm not sure anyone has to do that. I think it's probably more to do the setup at home. But that sort of initiative would be very useful, I think.
Yeah, on the retail owner, I suppose the Cahiran on the side would know this as well. If you see the change in town where I live in One Point, you can see that, as somebody pointed out to me, that the square in One Point has one resident business left that was there 30 years ago, so that the change in smaller towns is quite, would be the Genoa Cafe, that's the only one there that was there 30 years ago. So there's a great change in terms of what other places have done. The key seems to be in around, you know, making sure the fabric, two things really, making sure the streetscape fabric is as good as it can be, even if there's vacant premises, sort of making sure that in a sense they just don't go there in some way or another, maybe enforcing that on the landlords or the owners of those. The other thing that seems to be kind of key there is around the whole access issue there. And it's not, I know that it usually comes in around parking and parking charges, but there's probably more to it than that. One of the places that they look at recently has been looking at this is Swords and Bob Brigham down in Fingal, County Council. And they seem to have, whether you call it acceptance, but they seem to believe that their town centres as such are going to be places that people go to meet and meet up with people, and it'll be recreational as much as actually retail as well. So kind of looking at it from that point of view, that there will be some shops there, but a lot of it will be in around the coffee shop, small restaurants, that type of thing, you know, that people are actually going out to meet friends or meet with family or do that sort of thing as much as they're actually going out to shop. But that kind of juggernaut of online sales, I don't think will change anytime soon. So I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if that's a tie that can be turned. In terms of rates relief, I think, you know, there is, but it's like kind of more of the small business rate relief idea that most people seem to pursue, and I think that's more central government interest than at the council level on that.
And yourself, Robert, to finish off?
Chair, I agree with very good point. My curiosity has been here, I know there's a lot of agriculture experts in here, but 14.6 agriculture employees, where do you get that statistic from?
What that is then is that about a sixth of the total of the North's agricultural employees, and at least tend to be people employed, either self-employed or working on farms, are based in this kind of local government.
But surely that self-employed one that we're bringing in, 80% of those will be over 65. Well, if you're using the agricultural census one, because you fill in your agricultural census as a farmer, so you're the only one can still fill it in and be classed as an employee.
That's true. Yeah.
So really that statistic is not really right.
No, I suppose what we're looking at here is to say it's not that, it's kind of looking at if the agriculture is 100% across Northern Ireland, how much of that percentage declare themselves as working in agriculture in this council area. So it's the numbers of as a percentage of the whole of Northern Ireland, as opposed to...
So that's where you can't get it.
That's
where
it's can't get it. That's
to reassure them, unless you have a wind of that,
Number five, we'll move on to the RT items, village renewal application. Normally, Jonathan would take us through these, but Marie's going to take them and give us a wee bit of an update on Jonathan's situation as well.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair. Just by way of update to the committee, Jonathan has transferred to the role of Assistant Director of Community Planning and Performance as a short-term secondment. So we're in the process just of backfilling his post, so in the interim, he's got me. I also want to just point out Amanda Smith is at the back of the room, and Amanda has just been appointed into the role of Head of Regeneration and Business Development, which would work under Jonathan's Assistant Director role. Jonathan has commented out this for probably about a period of 6 months or so he will be back, but it's pretty, and he does remain within council, so he hasn't went anywhere. Okay, so village plans, then just attracting our application. You have the different county members, and what we're doing, all members will be aware through the DEA forums, you have all received updates on village plans and the village renewal process, and the work of the Montgomery and Keele Village Development Programme. So what we're doing today is seeking approval to appoint under the Council Framework Integrated Consultancy, an integrated consultancy team. We're also looking to secure preferred contractors, which is what we have to do to comply with the capital works requirements of ODP, and we will also be proceeding to make applications as has been discussed with each of the DEAs, so we would be asking permission at this point to sign off any letters of offer that we do receive. All of the resource applications are noted there, and it's all within our current budget, so I would ask just if members would be content to approve the proposal and the
second for that.
And basically this relates to the work that has been ongoing for some considerable period of time in relation to the Athlone Forest Park and the HLF application. I'm delighted to say that the council has been awarded a grant of $247,000 for the development phase, but that's a huge success for the council because it's actually quite difficult in that programme to get through. So I think fair play to all the people that sit in that particular steering group and work to develop that, and their officers as well, Shane, and the government involved in it as well. So we're asking you just to approve of signing off on the HLF letter of offer, and also to allow us to continue working on the DR application, which has to be completed the 31st of January. And we're also going to look to appoint an integrated design team or lighting for the wall garden work. And then there's a further number of recommendations within there, all of which will allow us to proceed with the works required for that HLF plan.
Robert?
Yeah, I sit on that committee, and there's a lot of work to put in there, and the people who are actually voting on behalf of the council and the chairperson deserve a lot of credit, because there's definitely hours after hours put into that there, and a lot of good effort now, and I propose yes to go ahead and accept the chair.
Thanks, Robert.
There is a lot of work as went on in the chairperson's time, and I deserve true credit for doing it on a voluntary basis. Also Shane McGivern, and then all the officers and all the members on the committee deserve to give credit. Just to say, to get this funding, the seismic shift and progress in the works in Castle Island and Forest Park, this would get us prepared for the round two application, which is a very, very competitive process. So I think it's excellent to have again Sally, the chair, who's great experience in regards to the applications for the ocean. But this will be of huge importance, and particularly the DEAR application, which probably that's the first capital works that's going to be in as well for part. I'm happy to second the proposal.
Okay, folks, move on to item number 7, the Joint University Partnership Agreement.
Yeah, and Chair, sorry, I'm just going back to mention Shane Kierman as an officer. I just also regret Sherry Kierman, who was in the previous, but yeah, that person has now transferred to Colleen, so he's a very nice work she put into it as well. The application then is a partnership agreement with Ulster University, and that's Owen McGuinness was here doing work with us today, and that's the work that they carry out on our behalf. We are recommending that we enter into a further agreement with them, and the costs are within our budget at the minute. It's something that has proved huge benefit to us over the last number of years, and just in relation to keeping us up to date on the economic situation here, and indeed even with the potential outcomes of Brexit.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's key that we have this information come through and form our decision making, and I want to make a decision tonight that we adopt that information.
Programs or the establishment of our skills forum, even the decisions that we take as a council in relation to Brexit and our documents, if you remember the Brexit conference, Owen and the University of Ulster, and Ulster University as they're called, have fed into all of that workload. And again, even the stuff that we've been given today gives us the opportunity to think ahead and think of what we need to actually be targeting. So it's something we find absolutely critical to just how we actually deliver on our work.
Item 8, Young Enterprise NI support for student skills development workshops.
Yeah, sure, this was with you in November, and at the time we weren't content to sign off on this programme, simply just because the programme itself is focused on non-jury skills only. We have since had discussions with Young Enterprise NI, and whilst we weren't content the last time, we were always content with the programme, but we were just not content with how far wide it reached. They have come back and received it in the paper that they're recommending a number of skills across the district. So we think this is a benefit to the youth of the area. We're quite happy to support it across the breadth of the district if members are content.
So just in mind, it was here before, but the only thing that we were unsure of was because it didn't stretch across the district. So Harry, your first up.
Yep, thank you, Chair. No, I think it's a great scheme. I'm happy to propose it and recommend we accept it. Going to benefit over 900 people and just £10,000. I think it's very good value for money. And as well as that, the spread across the district's brilliant. Taking on an awful lot of schools and different types of schools. So, very pleased with that. Thank you.
Robert?
Yeah, I was excited out there. When you look at 900 kids for 10 grand, and there's 10 nation year after year there, and see the work for them, I think it's good value for money.
Rosie?
Just like to echo the previous comments, and I'm delighted that the Galway has taken on board that as a council we need to make sure that everybody right across the district benefits. So well done, and good news.
I guess it's the HRA, but pretty encouraging, and then like the girls who are involved there. Fact is that there is a gap of female at the very low, there is a gap that's closing all the time, but you know, it's something we want to see at some stage agenda bound, and then we want to see female entrepreneurs coming forward in great, of course. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, folks, move on to the next item now. That's the conference driving social and economic change and from the Mull and Compelling Country Club.
Yeah. So this is a conference that organises the Regional College. It was actually Helen Key, a former employee, who highlighted this. So if anybody is wanting to attend, if they can be provided off, if you could let me know, so we can just through this council or this committee minister, if you want to go through something in the council.
Is there an option if anybody was going to check the guy from that
So
if anybody else wants to have a look to see what they're fixed in, they can come back and send an email through to Marilyn. Yeah.
But
then you
send it through the Christian
Okay. Somebody beware, Charlie, if anyone's running, I hope there's a five-year referendum. Okay, tourism, culture and events. I'm going to take us through these. So number 10 is the minor work that's around the beach.
Yeah, Chair, the paper sets out proposals for improvement works at Torella. Torella is one of our two blue flag beaches. It's an important tourism asset in the district, and it's a city with 30,000 in profile for improvement works that will help ensure that the blue flag award is retained for next year.
Okay, we're looking for a proposal on the Saturday for that. Aye, proposed money Saturdays. Yep. Okay. We've only on number 11, which is the Rochabert Downhill Fields.
Yes, Chair, again, the paper sets out proposals for improvements to the downhill mountain bike trails at Ross Trevor. Improvements are based on feedback from the users of the trails and the local mountain bike club, and $55,000 has been provided within the budget for this financial year.
Again, we're looking at the voice on your table.
Yes, sir. That's budget for improvement. Yes, but when people would read this, you know, there has been concern about doing the other walking trails and that, and what way the road is progressing in tandem with this. Because that was the whole discussion about Kilbroney and how the two of them live together. Such a narrow process that proposed that we take this for another one.
So yes, it is something that's been responded that yes, that there is a major piece of work happening, and we're within this financial year looking at the development of walking trails in Kilbroney and additional I suppose Blue Mountain Bike Trail, what they call it, so it's more family friendly. So that piece of work has been brought through committee, and that's happening within this financial year. In terms of figures, it's approximately £265,000 worth of work at Kilbroney. So that's mainly focused on the walking trails.
Yeah,
so
just is that, so this is the walking trail would happen first? You know, I'd be keen to see that happen before this would happen, you know, just because it's got to say that, you know.
Well, can be in the wrong
I'd say both projects were profiled, and the most profiled within this financial year would be happening in tandem. We're looking to do another one of those within this financial year.
Right. But the walking trail one did that first.
This is about the downhill trail.
I know it's not going to be far. But I'm talking really before, you know, I would give the OK version for a budget $55,000 to take assurances that the walking trails will be delivered, because that's what the public will ask for.
But can you turn the
more so than an upgrade of the mountain apart from the blue, which was really family oriented, which is more urban, but yeah, this is actually more family oriented. Visitor, caravan visitor, etc.
We have secured funding from there to do work on the walking trails, and we're currently working that in through and have to have completed in this financial year, and we're also doing the architecture, so we're doing both.
I think we're going to get the figures again. I think we get a tourism workshop in regards to the issues. But you have to keep the high standards that we have to keep according to the visitors and the, that visitor experience. So it is more worth it.
Okay, folks, we will move on then to item number 12 and 13 up for noting. So the next item on our agenda is our proposal on the package of those noted items. Aye, Robert. Then we move on to the exempt items. So if we could ask our press colleague. Is everybody welcome?
Yeah.
Is exciting the team to be restricted in virtue of paragraph 2 of the schedule 14 to proceed with the tendering of a trading test for the provision of one million ice cream vendor at the upper car park to the Gullion Forest Park for a period of up to 3 years with a lease to be reviewed annually. So, and that was proposed by Roisin and seconded by Willie. So that's correct, yeah. And then item number 15, approval to proceed to undertake necessary procurement exercises to deliver the Narnia ABDR project subject to funding of $150,000 from TNA and $150,000 from Council. Council contributed agreed at the November URT committee, and that is in principle as we're moving on with the offer. That was proposed by Council McAteer and Council McMahon.
Just forward, right here.
What's the to do with this agenda?
The whole of the agenda. I wonder when some of the areas outside these areas is going to get into.
Well, that's not on the agenda at all.
How do they get it on the agenda?
Thank you, folks. Sure.
Thank you.
To the staff.